Dr. Beal is our last speaker this morning, and Dr. Beal will address the value of getting them bred. Dr. Beal is a professor in the Department of Animal and Poultry Sciences at Virginia Tech. His research involves aspects of applied reproductive physiology in beef cattle. Currently, he is focused on estrus synchronization methods and embryo transfer techniques. Dr. Beal is an expert in ultrasound use for monitoring ovarian function and pregnancy in cattle. Beal, along with his family, raises Angus cattle. If he's ready, I'd like to introduce Dr. Bill Beal.
Thank you. Lights. I watch Weld, and I try not to run into this heavy equipment problem that he ran into. Weld, where are you? When the battery quit in the middle, was that a bleeding sinus call, or was that a foot and leg problem? I'm glad it ran out on you and not on me. Thank you. Somebody made this title up. Okay, I'm really going to talk about my vacation to Florida last summer. Instead, because I didn't really want to talk about value of getting them bred. It needed to fit with the value thing, and so I think they made that title up. I'm going to change this, maybe. Pull the trigger, right? I'm triggering, and back up now. I got you. I'm going to talk about the basics of reproduction, and I'm going to have fun doing it, and I hope you do too. The thing that I want to do today is, and don't take offense to this, I'm going to give you a version of the same talk that I give to the intro animal and poultry science students at Virginia Tech. I teach the beginning class, and I mean, we're talking beginning class. They get there on Sunday, and I get them at 9 o'clock Monday morning, okay? So they're as green as those napkins that the water's sitting on when they walk in. And if you've been to a college campus, these days, first of all, get used to the earrings and everything in your body being pierced because you have, and tattoos. Once you're over the pierced and the tattoo things, what you will notice is that most of them that come to an animal science class do not wear cowboy hats like these guys back here, alright? Most of them, in fact, have no idea which end of the cow is the front end and which end is the back end, which some people in my department get really upset with, and they think that, damn, all we're doing is teaching biology, you know, we're not really teaching agriculture anymore. I don't look at it that way. If you looked around at any of the county extension meetings you've gone to lately, there's a bunch of old people there. Okay? We need some young people, and the college campus is full of them. Now, they're pierced and they got tattoos, okay, but they're smart as hell. And so if we can recruit some of them into agriculture, we're going to be way ahead. And so part of my job, okay, is to teach about cattle, but the other part of my job is to recruit people into agriculture. And they're the smartest young people that we got out there, and so I go after them every single day. Well, one of the things that we talk about in class, and I've got 150 kids in class, it's a blast, okay, we have 6 labs a week. All I do is labs, you know, but it's great because you break them down into smaller groups and you talk about various things, and we talk about everything from the beef industry to you know, nutrition, which they hate, and to animal welfare. And we had the guys from PETA come from Washington because they're right close. I'll tell you what now, that's good. Someday we'll do that, John. All right? I'll tell you what, we'll do that. There's a guy at PETA who he and I actually get on all right. He's strange as a $2 bill, okay, but he'll come and he'll talk to you. Well, we haven't come to class. Well, one of the topics that we talk about that for whatever reason seems to have the most interest amongst the students is reproduction. And my daughter's a freshman, and I think I understand this now. Okay, but I'm going to take the same attack with you that I take with them, and that is I want to talk about the basics of reproduction. Because I'm of the opinion that if you understand the basics of beef cattle reproduction, you understand it all. And so specifically, if you understand the estrus cycle of the cow, you understand most everything you need to know about reproduction in a cow, or you can figure it out. If you understand the estrus cycle of a cow, you understand why cows come into heat every 21 days. You understand the estrous cycle of the cow. You understand why, when a cow's pregnant, she doesn't come into heat. Now, if you understand the estrous cycle of the cow, and you're like, well, then you understand why some cows don't get pregnant. All right? If you understand the estrous cycle of the cow, you understand why embryonic mortality occurs and what happens then after that. Okay? So I'm really going to leave here today hoping that if I haven't taught you anything else, that you understand what goes on during the estrous cycle of a cow. And that's my primary goal. That and having a pretty good time doing. Before we talk about the estrous cycle of a cow, we've got to talk about the plumbing. Okay, you need to know what the inside of a cow looks like. And if you're from Northern Virginia and you're a freshman in animal science, we take a little time with this. Okay? And we obviously, have you ever tried to get freshman in animal science to say vagina? Think about it, okay? I mean, that's an easy one when you think about clitoris is right behind it, okay? So, we all practice, okay? We all say vagina. Try it one time. Now try it again. You'll get a little better. Vagina, okay? Vagina. It's a good thing. Okay. Okay, the way the cow system is set up, she has one vagina. It opens to the outside world, okay, through the vulva. That vagina is a non-sterile environment where the urethra opens, okay, and urine passes out that way. Also serves as a birth canal at the time that she has a calf. And then the vagina, which is a non-sterile environment, is separated from what we hope is a sterile environment, the uterus, by the cervix. The cervix obviously has to dilate during the time that cow has that calf, and that's important, but other times it's important because it's a barrier to keep that uterus as a separate environment. At this point, the uterus, the tract breaks into two equal parts, or symmetrical parts. There are two uterine horns connected by that one uterine body. And at the end of the two uterine horns, you can see the oviduct. The oviduct then is a very small but relatively long tube that on the end of it opens up like a funnel. And that funnel called the infundibulum surrounds the ovary and catches the ovum at the time that a cow ovulates. So that's the plumbing. And we'll talk a little bit about the plumbing before the day is over. But the main thing I want to do is I want to talk about the events that go on the ovary of the cow. Because those are the events that control the estrous cycle. So if you understand the events that occur over a 21-day period on the ovary, then you understand what's going on as far as the estrous cycle is concerned. And that's my goal for today. This is the depiction of the estrous cycle. And there's a pointer here somewhere. My God. I can see why you were baffled, Rob. Listen, you got to have three hands and, you know, a commercial operator's license to run this thing. Okay? This is the estrous cycle. Okay? These are the events that occur on the ovary throughout the 21-day period that essentially dictate the behavior of the cow, but also the physiology of the cow as well. Now, we've got to start someplace on this. And so let's start on day zero. Okay? I'm going to designate day zero as the day that the cow, or the time that the cow is in heat. Okay? And that will be at the top of this diagram. On the day that the cow is in heat on the ovary, there should be a large fluid-filled follicle. That follicle houses the ovum, or the egg, which is right in the middle. Okay? But more importantly for the behavior of the cow, it secretes the hormone estrogen. Estrogen is depicted by those little arrows, goes into the bloodstream, carried to all parts of the cow's body, and it's estrogen, that hormone that's responsible for everything that occurs when a cow's in heat. It's responsible for her standing to be mounted by other cows. It's responsible for the secondary signs. Secretion of mucus by the cervix due to estrogen. Increased redness and swelling of the vulva due to the increased blood flow caused by estrogen. Everything's caused by estrogen when a cow's in heat. Okay, so once that follicle gets mature enough to secrete estrogen, that cow's going to show the signs of heat. About 30 hours after a beef cow first comes in heat, she ovulates the egg. Okay? It's an important time period. 30 hours after she first stands, she ovulates the egg. Okay? The egg's released in that open end of the oviduct called the infundibulum, hopefully grabs it and sends it towards the site of fertilization, which is the middle of the oviduct. Meanwhile, these cells that make up the wall of the follicle become extremely important. Okay? So a series of events has occurred. A cow comes in heat. 30 hours from when she first comes into heat, she ovulates and releases the egg. And then those cells that were the wall of the follicle and were secreting the hormone estrogen now turn yellow, as depicted here, and begin to form the structure called the corpus luteum. Okay? Corpus meaning body, luteum meaning yellow. It's Latin. Okay? For those of you who had Latin in high school, that's the only reason you ever had it. Okay? So that you know what a corpus luteum is. CL is what we call it. Okay? That's Texan for corpus luteum. Well, then you did, as soon as you gave a talk for me, I knew I could pick on you the whole time. Okay? Once ovulation occurs, the egg goes into the open end of the oviduct, passes down into the middle of this oviduct, and that's the site of fertilization if the cow has been bred. We didn't breed this cow, so that's not going to happen this time. But by day four, when that corpus luteum is just starting to form, okay, there's enough progesterone secreted by the corpus luteum, the second hormone we'll talk about, that it causes that egg on day four, after it's ovulated, to move into the tip of the uterus, where it's going to develop throughout the rest of pregnancy. Okay, so we've gone through ovulation, we develop a corpus luteum. That corpus luteum continues to get larger. By day 13, it reaches its maximum size during the ester cycle. How does it get bigger? Well, those cells that were the wall of the follicle change and form luteal tissue, and they simply divide. It's just cell division or mitosis. And so it takes a while, and it's a gradual process. During the time that's happening, the corpus luteum is secreting that hormone, progesterone, that was the signal for the ovum to pass down into the uterus. It's also the hormone that's responsible for keeping a cow out of heat. If estrogen is responsible for everything a cow does when she's in heat, then progesterone is responsible for suppressing that or keeping the cow out of heat and blocking her from developing a follicle and ovulating. Well, if the cow's not pregnant, well then, we want her to come back in the heat, right? Yeah. So we need to get rid of that corpus luteum. Fortunately, the uterus is able to detect a non-pregnancy status in the uterine horn on day 17 or 18 of the cycle. If the cow's not pregnant, she releases a third hormone, prostaglandin. Prostaglandin released from the non-pregnant uterus causes the CL to regress. The CL regresses, progesterone declines, okay? As depicted here by that CL becoming smaller, and if that corpus luteum regresses and progesterone declines, that means a new follicle can develop. That follicle, like the one we had 21 days ago, can go on to secrete estrogen and cause the cow to come back into heat. Now, Weldon, notice that these are Hereford and Simmental Hereford cross cows. Angus cows never come back in heat. They get pregnant the first time. Okay? So, write that down. Okay? Those Angus bulls are going to pay off for you here in a while. All right? That's the 21-day ester cycle. Okay? And those are the events that occur on this ovary throughout the ester cycle, going all the way from a cow being in heat to a cow ovulating, a corpus luteum developing and secreting progesterone, but then when the cow's not pregnant, that corpus luteum regressing at the end of the cycle, a new follicle developing, the cow coming back in heat, and the cow ovulating again. You got it? Okay, there'll be a quiz now, okay? And she'll pass this out from the back. Okay? No, in class, that's what we do. And they'll go, oh my God. You didn't tell us that was a quiz. That's not fair. You've never heard anybody say, that's not fair, as many times as college freshmen. Okay? Tattoos, piercing, and that's not fair. You got the lights. Okay. It's not fair. Okay? Truth is, it's not fair. And most college freshmen are not going to get the ester cycle in one time through. And I talk about cows and hormones every single day. I don't have any trouble with this stuff. Is there any reason why these kids shouldn't be able to remember estrogen, progesterone, prostaglandin, you know, heat, vagina? Those are kind of, at my dinner table, those are everyday conversations. Okay? They don't remember. And the reason is it's abstract. First of all, most of them have never seen a cow. Okay, they have a dog, but hell, they only come in heat every once in a while, and then it's a nuisance. You know, and most of them have male dogs. And so, it's all abstract. It's totally in their mind. And that most people don't learn that way. That you can't just think of a concept, you know, and understand it. Most of them have to be able to see it. So what I try to do, and what I'm going to try to do here today, is I try to build an Esther cycle in their mind. So that the next time they think about the cow being heat, they have something to remember in their mind that's physical to relate that to. And they do a better job of understanding it. Now, I'm going to do that, okay? Right up here, Weldon, we're going to build an Esther cycle so that when you go back to Vernon, Texas, okay, and you see a cow meet next time, you're going to think about this stage in Sacramento, California, okay, as you think about what's going on inside that cow. Now, I need some people to help me with this. I need six people. Okay? Now, this is the part of the talk where everybody starts checking their shoes. Ooh, I think my shoes are tired. I'm not looking at me. So don't be checking your shoes. No. Look at her face. You know that ain't going to work. Okay? But I need some help from some people. All right? This guy, what's your name?
Cameron,
come on up here. You can be the first one. All right? Good, let's hear it for Cameron. And I need some women. What's your name? Jennifer, would you help me? Okay, come on up. Cameron and Jennifer. Oh, let's see. What's your name? You've been watching. You've been taking notes. Okay? Good. Joel, come on up here, Joel. All right? I got three. Cameron, Jennifer, and Joel. Go up there on the stage. I'll be there in a second. Okay? What's your name?
Brian,
would you help me? Good. Leave your hat, Brian. It's a not hat tour. Okay? Okay, good. Alright. It was Brian, right? Brian and Joel, Jennifer and Cameron. You gotta remember their names, well. You gotta identify the damn cows. Okay? Or you can't tell it was a meat. Okay. Let's see. You help me? Come on. I need one more. Would you help me? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hi, what's your name?
Craig.
Craig, how you doing? You ever been to one of these meetings before?
No.
Okay, good. Okay. Don. Craig and Don. Okay. I need a tall guy. Right. I need a woman to start. Okay, you'll understand in a minute. Okay. And I need you here. So I need Jennifer, and then I need Brian. But they got name tags. Don't let me tell me, all right? I heard you on the phone out there trying to tell some guy who works for you how to put the water up, man. He doesn't know squat, but I can fix the water. Because I was watching your hands and everything. It's in W-2 pasture,
exactly.
Right? You check the pressure. The pressure's okay. You got no problem. Just there in the line. But if there's no pressure, you're in a big, time hurting way, aren't you? I was getting coffee. I was watching them, okay? I got the same problem at home, man. You're on the phone. You know they ain't getting it, you know? You're telling them for the third time how to fix the water. You're going, damn it, why did I go to this meeting? The cows will all be dead when I get home. Okay. Yeah, that shit happens, man. I know. Okay. Boom, boom. I need a shorter person. Let's see. Let's do this. You come down here. You be right here. Good, I get you right, I need you. Okay, now step up on the stage. Everybody step up on the stage. Okay, so it's Jennifer, Cameron, Brian, Joel, Craig, and Don. Don, okay, Don, I want you way down here. Get away from these people. Okay? You come on right here. No, on the stage, man. We don't want to miss you. You right there on that crack. You right here next to him. Okay? I want you right here in the middle of that thing. You got it? Yeah. Now, I got their names down. Okay, I got Jennifer, Cameron, Brian, Joel, Craig, and Don. Okay? Now, they're going to be days of the Esther cycle. And like their names, they're not going to remember. So I brought signs. Okay? We're going to give them a sign to wear so they remember what day of the cycle they're on. Okay? Don't look so happy, Jennifer. Okay. You paid to come to this meeting. Okay. It's bad when you got to pay and then you got to do this. Okay. All right. You're day 18 of the cycle. Okay? Good. Put that on your head.
Checking it. So it still says day.
Okay, good.
Now, this is a very talented position, which is why I picked you. Notice you're the only woman?
I know,
okay, good. No, it's a good thing. Okay, I need talent here. Okay, so you got to be able to do two things at the same time. Okay, are you a smoker?
No.
That's perfect. Good. Not a smoker. Okay. Cameron, came all the way from Texas. Right? Did you bring some people with you?
No, sir.
You all by yourself?
Yes, sir.
So you just drove up from Texas.
Uh-huh.
You got a wild hair and just decided to come to the National Angus Conference. Okay. Do you even have Angus cattle?
A couple.
A couple cattle. Okay, so all you people selling bulls, here you go. Okay. They'll be taking one bull. Okay.
Can I get it?
Take the back half, okay? All right. Now, do you have a girlfriend, Cameron?
No.
No girlfriend. It's a good thing you came to this meeting. Stay away from him, Jennifer. But because you're about to get lucky. You didn't know it, but you are. All right. Put that around your neck, okay? Now, Brian, I could have used a shorter person for this job, okay? No, you don't have to get down. We'll just pretend like you're short, okay? And you'll see why we need that. And Joel, I needed a tall person for you, and since you were the tallest one, you got to day 12. So you'll be day 12, okay? And you're just right now.
I'm just perfect?
You're just right. If you look down there and look at Jennifer, okay? Jennifer's pleased to know that even though you are also going to be day 18, she looks nothing like you do.
Perfect.
Okay? Good. And Don, are you married?
Yes.
You're not married? That's even better. But you know what, you're sitting with a woman out there?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Ben. Okay, we won't go any farther, Don. Don, you didn't know it either, but you two are going to get lucky, okay? But only if Cameron doesn't get pregnant. Think about it. Okay, put that around your neck. All right, now I got to load up here. Trying to build an Esther cycle for Weldon to take home with him is a full-time job. It'll take a second. You wonder what cows do the 21 days between the times they eat? They load up with stuff and get ready. Okay. Okay. You ready? You ready, Jennifer? Okay, cool. All right, here we go. Got to start a cycle someplace, all right? And to start a cycle, I decided to start it at the end of the last cycle. So you're really not with all those people, which isn't really a bad thing when you think about it, you know? This is the end of the last cycle. Jennifer's not pregnant. You see that? Okay? You have to be careful who you pick for this job, okay? Because if all of a sudden you go, oh my God, that's the end of the show. No. Okay. Jennifer's not pregnant. And she said, are you sure? You don't want us to check. Okay. Yeah. Okay, end of the last cycle. Jennifer's not pregnant. Okay? So a new... You got to help me here. Follicle developed. I happen to have one in my pocket. Schiff of mine gave it to me when he killed one of the cows at ConAgra. The graded select. Oh, it's a green one. That's good. Fertile. Yeah. It's pre-pubal heifer, first time. Okay. Small follicle.
You gone?
Might be a long cycle. Medium follicle. Large follicle. Okay. Now, you have to hold this. Okay? Okay? And then you have to be able to flip the sign and do the whole thing. Okay, got it? Okay. Follicle secretes the hormone. Flip the sign. Estrogen. Cool. Okay? Pass the follicle over to Cameron without losing any follicular fluid. Okay? Follicle secretes the hormone. Estrogen causes the cow to... How do you know the cow's in heat? Okay. When you're in a group of freshmen, been in college for 1 week, you ask them, how do you know? No one's going to say, stands to be mounted. Okay. The homosexual cow thing is very new to them. Okay? So, you will get...
probably in this order, you will get stands with ears erect. You know, always one of your first signs that you look for when you're riding around in the pickup, right? Okay, you will get nasty discharge from the vulva. And it's there, take my word for it. Okay? You'll get increased activity, you'll get bellowing.
I'm not going to try to ride
you,
are you?
No, boom, boom, boom. You got a bellow here. That was a laughing bellow, okay? But you very seldom get standing to be mounted by other cows, okay? That's just the way it is. But that is the primary sign of heat. Now, how long is this cow in heat? Now, you real people that have cows at home, okay? How long do you have cows in heat?
3 hours to over a day.
To over a day? Okay. So, 3 hours, 6 hours, 12 hours? 8 hours to 30 hours. Okay? That's a good range. I'd say those cows that are in 6 hours to 24 hours are what I call normal cows. The cows that are less than 6 hours, you probably just weren't out there enough to watch them. Okay? The cows that are in more than 24 hours, I start to worry about those, don't you? Okay? Because something's not happening that probably should have happened in that deal. So somewhere in that 6 to 24 hour range is probably normal. And that varies from cow to cow to cow to cow to cow. Alright? It's extremely variable. But behavior is variable. That makes sense. What's not variable? What's not variable is from the time that this cow first comes into heat to the time that she ovulates is 30 hours. And that's true for the cow that's in heat for 6 hours. It's true for the cow that's in heat for 24 hours. From when she first stands to when she ovulates is 30 hours. It doesn't matter if she stood for 6 hours or stood for 24 hours. Now, there's one other thing that you can tell about a cow that's in heat that isn't in the books. And that is, they wear these little hats. Okay? So when you're driving down the Interstate 5 going home tonight, alright, and you see this cow standing in the field with a stock cap on, holding the blue sign around her neck, slam on the brakes, run up to the house, knock on the door, say, "Man, you got a cow in heat out there." He'll probably think you're from the university, but he'll definitely know you're there to help him. Now, this is a normal cow. This cow's in heat for 12 hours. Okay, the cow goes out of heat, tail head's roughed up. Okay? Then, 30 hours after the cow first came into heat, she ovulates. Releases the egg into the oviduct. Goes down into that big open part of the oviduct called the infundibulum. Then the cilia move it down to the middle and just sits there. Meanwhile, back on the ovary, these cells that did make up the wall of the follicle and were secreting the hormone estrogen now become the corpus luteum, okay? Or if you're from Texas, the CL, okay? The corpus luteum starts out small, but by day 4, it's secreting enough progesterone that it sends a very important signal. The signal on day 4 is for this ovum, which was in the middle of the oviduct, to move down into the uterus. In addition to being with the California Beef Council, you are now the keeper of the uterus. Okay. Meanwhile, you should have seen his eyes. Back on the ovary, that CL that started out small continues to increase in size by the cells dividing. By day 12, it reaches its maximal diameter. Still secreting the hormone. Come on. Progesterone. Still keeping the cow from coming back into heat. Now, is this cow pregnant? Pass it over to day 18. Anybody here from Montana? Who? Is this cow pregnant? She's not. Why not? Why not? Don't be helping the Montanans. This is an honor code violation. And you're on the board. You should know better. Okay? Okay, don't get too... Don't make this too scientific. Okay? Let's cut to the chase. We didn't breed her, right? Got it. These Montana guys are so damn smart. She's not pregnant. So you take a look at this right here. This is a non-pregnant uterus. Stand up. Turn around. This, friends, is a non-pregnant uterus. Okay? It's a little red right now, okay? But it's a non-pregnant. If it's not pregnant, it releases the hormone prostaglandin. You get to hold this too. Okay, but you can sit back down now. Prostaglandin causes the corpus luteum to regress. Just drop it. If the corpus luteum regresses and progesterone declines, then a new follicle develops. I happen to have one in my pocket. Oh my God, it's a red Angus, John. I didn't think they were allowed in this meeting. Old guys, you think they know, you know. Small follicle. Medium follicle. Keep going. Medium to large follicle. Almost a large follicle. Large follicle. Follicle secretes the hormone. And estrogen causes the cow to come in to eat. Okay? How long is the cow in heat? Probably less than 12. She's got a golfing date. Okay? Okay? Cows in heat 8 hours. Is she normal? Yeah. But 30 hours after she first came into heat, she's now out of heat. Tailhead's roughed up. Okay? She, oh my God, ovulates, releases the egg into the oviduct. Now, is that cool or what? You didn't realize this stuff was happening, did you? You can go back home. Well, you can go back home and be riding around this 59,000 acres, where the hell it is, okay, in a pickup truck going like this. He'd be going, Terrence, did you hear that one ovulate? Roll the windows down. It's easier to hear. Okay? Okay. You think you got it now? I don't think so. I'm going to try one more time, a little faster, because everybody knows what they're doing now. Okay? You're going to keep the sign. Give me this. Give me this. Take this hat. We'll put it right here. Okay? We got to go faster here now. Right? I'm putting your stuff on a chair. So that I'm coming through here and then go, stand right there. Okay? Need these. Need these. Okay, hope I get a follicle somewhere. Ovum. Okay. Hard work being a cow. Alright, are we ready? Okay. Here we go. I'm ready. Oh, it's a yellow Charlotte. Never get pregnant, right, John? Okay. Hope Randy Perry isn't here. Okay. End of the last cycle. Cow's not pregnant. Corpus luteum regresses and a new follicle develops. Well, when you see any cows with their heads stuck down behind like that, they're going to be in heat soon. Medium follicle and a large follicle. Follicle secretes the hormone. Pass it over to Cameron. Follicle secretes the hormone. Estrogen causes the cow to... How do you know the cow's in heat? No. She stands to be mounted by the bull. Now, this is what, Jay, this is when the bear would breed her. We won't demonstrate that. Okay? But think about it. If the bear is going to breed this cow and he passes breeding sinus exam, he can deposit 4 billion sperm with each ejaculate into the vagina. They go into the vagina. They go up through the cervix, okay, into the body of the uterus, up both uterine horns, into each oviduct, and they'd be sitting right here in the middle of the oviduct. Now, is this cow ovulated yet? No, and that's the cool part. Mother Nature's given us this perfect timing technique where the cow comes in heat, we get semen, the bull gets semen to the site of fertilization. Okay? Those sperm cells are sitting there capacitated, ready to fertilize the egg. She hasn't ovulated, but they're sitting there going, "Come on, baby!" Meanwhile, back at the ovary, this cow's in heat for 12 hours. She goes out of heat. 30 hours after she first came into heat, got moved to the left just a little bit, she ovulates, releases the egg into the oviduct. Down through the big open part of the oviduct, cilia work it down into the middle part of the oviduct where the sperm are waiting, and then, do you hear that sound? That's the sound of fertilization. Okay? You don't want to hear that in a girl's dorm. Meanwhile, back on the ovary, these cells that did make up the wall of the follicle and were secreting the hormone now become the corpus luteum and begin secreting progesterone. Corpus luteum starts out small, okay, but there's enough progesterone there to signal for this fertilized egg to move down into the uterus. Meanwhile, CL continues to grow. By day 12, it reaches its maximum diameter. It's still there on day 18, but now the cow is pregnant. Holstein bull must have been the neighbors, right, Weldon? Not one of the low birth weight groups. Come to the bell and everything, well, so you can find it tonight. Okay? Now, instead of this being a non-pregnant uterus, this is a pregnant uterus. Prostaglandin's not released. The corpus luteum is maintained. Push it over to day 21. Is this cow come and eat? No. How long does this corpus luteum stay? All the way through pregnancy, somebody said, and they're exactly right. 283 days from when it started out, this thing's there. When it's time to deliver the calf, the CL regresses, progesterone declines, and the calf's delivered. Okay? Now that is really cool. Hey, got any questions? It's a good time to ask questions. We'll never have the ester cycle in front of you again. Okay? Say what? Somebody ask. How do you time breed a cow? Or when do you time breed a cow? When do you time breed a cow? Okay? What's the thumb rule? Trial and error is the best scientific method that was ever discovered. And that's how we determined when to breed cows, wasn't it? We didn't know all this stuff was going on inside of a cow in 1954 when we first were doing AI. But we tried all the different times, right? And we came up with this not-so-fancy little AM-PM rule. It works in Oregon. Okay? It works in Virginia. Why does it work? Well, think about why it works. Okay? Think about why it works. If you go back here, this cow comes into heat. You're a good man, Cameron. This cow comes into heat. We don't know how long she's going to be in heat. Okay? But we do know that 30 hours from when she first came into heat, she's going to ovulate. Alright? So, in general, if we go by the AM-PM rule, we wait 12 hours after we first see her. Do we see her the minute she stands? No way. If you're checking morning and evening, on average, she's going to be has been standing for 6 hours, right? So you're already 6 hours in on average. You wait another 12 hours on average, so you're 18 hours after she first came into heat, right? when you put the semen in? Has she ovulated? No, because she's going to go 30 hours. How far ahead of when she ovulated are you breeding her? 10 plus 2 or 12 hours. That gives the sperm enough time to be in the oviduct for capacitation to take place so that they're ready to fertilize the egg when it reaches that site. The AMPM rule, even though it's found by trial and error, all we've done by having ultrasound and being able to know all these things is realize why it's worked so well. Okay? And the key here is important. If you were going to, if you got a ball game that night, kids got a ball game. Alright? And you want to wait 12 hours, but you saw a 7 this morning and the ball game is from 5 o'clock until it's too damn dark to find them and breed them. Do you breed them at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is a little earlier than the AMPM rule, or do you wait till tomorrow morning to breed them? Breed them early. What did Mother Nature do? She got the bull to get the sperm there before ovulation. If you you can breed way too early, but breeding 6 or 8 hours early, okay, is going to be a whole lot better than breeding less than 4 hours prior to ovulation, or God forbid after ovulation, because you're not going to have a chance of getting her pregnant. So, in the perfect world, you'd like to be in that window of 6 to 18 hours before she ovulates. If you've got to make a decision to be at the end of that window or at the beginning of that window, breed her a little bit early and go watch the ball game. Okay? Don't wait and breed her tomorrow morning because she may be out of heat. Okay? Other question? Did that answer yours? Okay. Question was, is there other progesterone production besides the corpus luteum? And I'm going to have to give you a college professor answer that one, Bill. Yes, the placenta of the cow is capable of producing some progesterone. But to test that, the experiment to do is to take the ovaries out of a cow that's pregnant and see if she can maintain pregnancy. She will do that, but when she gets to about day 200, something goes haywire and she has the calf at that point. So there's not enough progesterone coming from the placenta to maintain pregnancy. When a cow's not pregnant, okay, the answer to your question is no. There's no other source of progesterone other than the corpus luteum. Okay? Sheep are an interesting deal because in sheep, you can take away the ovaries after they reach about a third of pregnancy and they will maintain pregnancy for the full length. Okay, the placenta does produce enough progesterone. Shoot.
How close would you think you'd have to be to the oviduct before you're pretty sure that it's going to make it?
How close would you have to be to the oviducts with the sperm? Oh, that's the cool part. The question was, how close to the oviducts do you want to get the sperm to make sure that you're going to get the cow pregnant? Is that a good paraphrase? Okay, another paraphrase to that question was, am I better off if I horn breed and put some sperm way up in each horn as opposed to putting it in the body of the uterus? Okay, and the answer is, if you get it past the cervix and into the body of the uterus, you're good to go. Okay, for skilled technicians, okay, who are excellent at getting past the cervix, there has not been shown an advantage for putting half the semen in one horn and half in the other. Okay? For technicians that are not as skilled and who sometimes do not go through the cervix, okay, there was an advantage. So for these inexperienced inseminators, there was some advantage to horn breeding. But in general, if inseminators are experienced, there has not been an advantage to horn breeding. Now, another question. Does Bill Beal ever horn breed? Okay? I know my way around the inside of a cow. So do several others of you in here. Okay? You bet I do. Okay? If you ever gotten into that cow where you swear that the cervix is open so much you could drive a compact car through it? I always feel when I push the plunger, like, I better get out of the way because it's coming back out. You know, I just might get it in the face. I hate those cows. You know, it's great. You fall in and, you know, oh, great. I put it in the horns. Does it make her have more chance of getting pregnant? Probably not. But I sleep better next to my wife that night, okay? Because I felt like I put it farther up there. The key is, get it in the body of the uterus past the cervix and you're good to go. Okay? It probably don't need to put it all the way up a horn. Sir? Can I save that question? It's a good question. And I got a slide that I want to go to that will show the answer to it a little bit better. But don't let me forget. Okay? When I say three waves and I haven't answered your question, jump up and yell at me. Okay? Let's quit. I want to talk about one more thing with you. But let's give these people, especially Cameron, a big round of applause. Is one of these shirts mine? Why don't you give it to Cameron? Would you do that? Cameron, get your shirt before you go. I get the money that's in the envelope, though. There is money in there, isn't there, John? No. Not a dime. Okay. Yeah. There you go. If it doesn't fit, go out and trade it. Okay. Thank you. Human heat. Welding. That one's in heat. Okay. Thank you all for helping. That was awfully good. Okay, we have a little timer. For you people that are out there, you don't realize it. They wanted us to stay on time, so they put this little timer up here. Okay? So I told them, I said, 30-second injury timeout. Okay? And see, it stops. But then when you're 30 seconds up, it starts again. Okay? So I got 12 minutes, 56 seconds, and then it's like Cinderella, you know? I'm gone. But all I talk about is the answer to the question, and we're going to get your little question on the way, is how come we can successfully time-breed cows in a synchronization program today, but we couldn't do that 10 or 20 years ago when we first introduced Lutalikes, for example, and everybody said, go breed them at 80 hours and go fishing. Okay? There's an answer. The answer to that question is follicular waves. You got to come to California to see this. Okay? I have to admit that I lied to you a little bit in our little previous discussion. When I was talking about the estrous cycle of the cow, I said that there was just one follicle that developed. And that was this follicle right here, that if the corpus luteum regressed, a new follicle developed, and that follicle then went on to secrete estrogen and to ovulate. And it gave you the simplistic impression that that's all that was happening. It's not. Okay? There are waves of follicular growth that occur during the cycle. And in most cows, okay, there are two waves. One starts right after ovulation. A group of follicles grow up. They go away by the middle of the cycle, day 8 through 11. A new wave starts, and generally that second wave does give rise to that ovulatory follicle if the cow's not pregnant. Okay, so there are waves. How do we discover these? With ultrasound. You know, in addition to being able to measure back fat, loin, eye, and marbling, which are extremely boring, you can actually look inside of a cow by going in a rectum and see what's going on in the ovary. Okay, and unlike back fat, marbling, and grass growing, that changes rapidly. Okay? And so it's cool. We picked up what was happening on the ovaries by watching it with ultrasound. And that's where we could see that more than one wave of follicles was developing each cycle. If you graph out follicular waves, they look something like this. And this will be a little tough to see in the back because it got shrunk down. Okay? Here's ovulation, the red triangle. And here's the next ovulation, 21 days later. After ovulation, a new wave of follicles grows. So you see a bunch of little follicles come up. Out of that group of little follicles, there's 8 to 20 of them at a time, one of them becomes what's called the dominant follicle. And it actually suppresses all the others. Okay? And so there's only one large dominant follicle. It's inhibiting all the others. Then that dominant follicle from the first wave loses its ability to inhibit about day 8 to 11, and a second wave starts. And out of that second wave, that's where the ovulatory follicle comes from in a two-wave cow. Now, in a three-wave cow, the same things happen. It's just the cycle is generally a little longer, 23 or 24 days. And so she develops a third wave, and it's the third wave follicle that goes, dominant follicle that goes on and ovulates. Okay? Now, here's a sidebar answer to your question. How do you get twins? You get twins when instead of one follicle being the dominant follicle in this final wave, you get more than one. Okay? And some breeds have that happen more often. Simmentals are prone to that. There are a group of cows within the Angus breed that have been selected with a Meadow Research Center. They're more prone to that. But that's where the answer is. Somehow the mechanism controlling follicular dominance is different in that cycle or in that cow more often. Okay? Now, why has this follicular wave thing been a problem to try to time breed cows? Well, the first tool we had to synchronize estrus was prostaglandin. And prostaglandin in a bottle, luteolice, okay, or estromate, or bovine, all of them are prostaglandins, when you inject those into a cow, it regresses the corpus luteum. That's what normally happens at day 18 to 20, right? Well, if we come into a cow that's on day 7, she's right here, and we give prostaglandin right here, her CL regresses, and this follicle is going to go on and be the ovulatory follicle. Do you see that? And so we thought, well, if we go into the whole cycle, give prostaglandin, regress the CL, everybody will be like Jennifer was over here. The CL regresses, a new follicle develop all at the same time. They'll all come into heat at the same time. They'll all ovulate at the same time, so we can breed them all at the same time. It didn't work. And the reason was, in 1980, we didn't know about follicular waves. And what we were doing is, one cow that we were giving prostaglandin to was on day 7. She had a really big follicle. It took her very little time to get to here, which is like the ovulatory follicle. She's in heat in a hurry. But another cow was on day 11. She's got this really little follicle. It takes her 5 or 6 days to grow it up to have an ovulatory follicle. She comes into heat really late. Can we breed those cows at the same time? There's no way. So we've got to have something to control follicle development before we control corpus luteum development. I'm not taking any calls at this time. Okay? We've got to have something to control follicular development before we control the corpus luteum, so that every cow has a follicle that's exactly the same when we give prostaglandin. So then we can breed them all at the same time because we expect them to ovulate at close to the same time. We have those tools. Okay? Something to reset, if you will, a follicular wave. Something where we can give that drug, and no matter where they are in a follicular wave, a new wave starts. So that 7 days later, there's a big follicle there that's ready to go on and ovulate. The legal drug that we have to do this is gonadotropin releasing hormone. It could be sisterelin, Factor L, or Fertigil. Okay? It doesn't matter which one. All of them are GnRH. All of them do the same thing. And what they do is they cause a luteinizing hormone surge, okay, which I'll depict like this. That LH surge is exactly what happens at the beginning of heat and what normally times ovulation in a cow that's at the end of her cycle. Okay? What the LH surge does when you just give it to all your cows depends on where they are in the cycle. If they're in the middle of the cycle and they have a corpus luteum and you give GnRH, well, they can't ovulate because they've got too much progesterone, right? And they don't have a big follicle. But they can luteinize that follicle, okay, which is a form of ovulation, to at least get rid of it and start a new follicular wave. So if given during the middle of the cycle, what a GnRH or sisterelin, Factor L, or Fertigil injection does is essentially causes follicle turnover or a reset button, a restart button like we talked about a second ago. It sets all the cow's follicular waves at the same point at that time. If we give GnRH then later, after we've given prostaglandin, there's what it does, okay, if there's a CL present. It just acts as a reset button. If we give it later when there's no CL, we've already given prostaglandin, we got rid of the CL, we had that large follicle, it's going on ready to ovulate, then it's just like when the cow is in heat. So if there's no CL, it'll cause the follicle to ovulate. So we got two buttons. This sounds pretty simple. We You got two buttons that you can push. You give GNRH, Sister Ellen, fat girl, Fertigil, to a cow that's just in the middle of a cycle, you push the restart button, and she starts follicular waves over again. If you've regressed her CL with luteolysis, botulinum, or estromate, and she's an equivalent of being at the end of the cycle, and there's that big follicle there, it will cause that follicle to ovulate. It's like pushing the ovulation button. Okay? Now, how can we use this tool to allow us to time bleed all cows in a synchronization program? Well, it should be pretty apparent to you. The most common program that's at least talked about, I don't know if it's the most common one used, is the OddSync program. In the OddSync program, you give Sister L and Factor L or Fertigil, one of the GNRH products, on day zero. You don't know where your cows are, okay? It's Tuesday, that's all you know. Alright? Then, that's like pushing the restart button. All the cows will start developing new follicles at that point, so that 7 days later, they should have a big follicle sitting there that's ready. The next Tuesday, 7 days later, you give them luteolysis, botulinum, or estromate, regress the corpus luteum. Okay, those cows are now on their way to come into heat. But before they come into heat, 48 hours after the prostaglandin, you give the second GnRH. Unlike the first one, which was the restart button, you've now pushed the ovulation button. So you've got them programmed, you regress the CL, they got a big follicle, they're about to come into heat, and you push the ovulation button so they all have to ovulate 30 hours later. You know ovulation is going to be 30 hours after this injection for those cows that haven't shown heat yet. And so you come in 8 to 18 hours later, somewhere in that window, and you deposit the sperm. That should maximize your chances of fertilizing the egg that you're causing to ovulate with this second GnRH injection. Okay? Does it work? Sometimes. Here's five trials, okay? Three of them done in Colorado, three of them in Virginia that are in the published peer-reviewed literature. And in all of these, they got better than 50%. We've done a lot of stuff that hasn't been published with OddSync, and they're getting between 40 and 55%. The more cows that are cycling prior to the time you do this, the better off you're going to get. It will jumpstart some non-cycling cows, but they're not going to work as well as cycling cows. But I use 50%. If I can get half of the cows on an OddSync program, okay, I feel like I've been successful. What's the downside? The downside is it's four times through the chute. Okay? First injection, GnRH. Second injection, prostaglandin. Third injection, GnRH. Fourth injection, bleeding them. Separating cows and calves four times, you know, when you got a 59 million acre ranch, is not the easiest thing in the world to do. And so you may want to look at some other things. Okay? In smaller operations where time and convenience is a big time factor, then an OddSync program generally will work reasonably well. Okay. Any questions before I finish up, Sean?
What about this MGA, giving them the MGA 14 days before? What's your
evaluation? Can you go back to see all my slides? There you go. Let's go to right here. He had a good question about, what about the MGA prostaglandin system? And I threw this slide in even though I wasn't going to talk about it. MGA prostaglandin is the best system for synchronizing heifers. Okay, now this is a test, so get your paper out, because I'm going to see how much you know. I'm going to tell you a little bit, okay, to add to this, but we're going to test this thing out right here. Let's see how well it works, and I'll show you why it works so well. Here's the MGA prostaglandin program. Feed MGA for 14 days to your heifers. What is MGA to start with? It's a progesterone. It's just like the progesterone that comes out of corpus luteum. As long as you feed it, it's just like she has an artificial CL. When you take it away, it's just like the end of the cycle. You got it? So we're giving her a corpus luteum for 14 days, and then we're taking it away. You would expect all the cows and heifers to come into heat within 7 days after that. Unfortunately, it's an infertile heat. The answer why it's an infertile heat goes back to your question about the dominant follicle. When you feed MGA, you just hold the dominant follicle. You hold it, hold it, hold it. The ovum inside of there is not doing the right things. Okay, it's not turning over like it normally would when you're under MGA. So then when it goes on and ovulate, it's not as fertile. It's not infertile, but it's less fertile than it would have been if it had turned over and you got a new follicle to grow. So don't breed on that heat, and that's why. Okay, but what that does is it sets up a great heat right here so that we can then wait 19 days after the last MGA feeding. If the cows are in heat 4 days after MGA and we wait 19 days, okay, even in Montana, 19 minus 4 is 15. They'd be on day 15 of the cycle, which is the best time to give them prostaglandin to get them to all respond the same. Okay? So we give them prostaglandin, either utilize bovolone or estrimate, on the 33rd day, having waited 19 days since the last MGA feeding, those cattle should be in heat over a period of the next 4 to 5 days, heat check and breed them. And it is the best system for heifers that's out there. There's the estrus response. It's pretty tight, but it's not that good for time breeding. It's still a little too spread out for time breeding. It's not as good as OvSync. There are some modified time breeding things. Does it work? You betcha. This is a very unscientific thing that some statistician's going to die right now. But I went in my office and just pulled out the first 10 trials I could find on MGA prostaglandin and put them on this slide. Okay, I wasn't looking for the good ones, I wasn't looking for the bad ones, just looking for the first 10 I could find. Alright, and here's the 10 that I found. West Virginia, 404 heifers. I didn't know they had that many heifers in West Virginia. 91% of them came in heat off the MGA prostaglandin, 63% became pregnant. That's pretty good. Okay, Kansas, little state down in the middle of the country. Okay, 253 and 40 heifers, 64 and 54% of them pregnant. Bunch of trials in Missouri. Dave Patterson did most of these. 64, 59, 60, 72. Okay. Kentucky, 61. Nebraska got 51% of 70 heifers that they treated pregnant. And Colorado got 57% of 157. Every one of these is over 50%. You see? There is no better program for heifers. It works in cows. The problem is it's so long that it doesn't fit a lot of cow-calf operations. But it fits most heifer operations where you already got heifers on feed. Okay? Other questions? Go back to the first redneck slide, will you? Where we were. Yes, sir. That's a Nobel Prize thing. You know, I don't know. GnRH doesn't turn over follicular waves in heifers the way I described it. It does a very good job of that in cows. It does not do that in heifers well. And I don't know why. Nobody does. So we don't recommend using GnRH or OvSync type program on heifers. Because that first shot, which should be a restart shot, does not work as well in heifers as it does in cows. And we don't know why at this point. Okay? There's a couple of possibilities, but we aren't sure. Let me finish real quick. This is Jeff Foxworthy stuff. You can do this when you're not in Southwest Virginia, but when you're in Southwest Virginia, redneck is actually a third political party. And so you can't tell these kinds of jokes. Okay? You know you're a redneck if the neighbors start a petition over your Christmas lights. You know you're a redneck if you have to remove a toothpick for your wedding pictures. And I hope my wife's not in here. Okay? You know you're a redneck if you mow the lawn and find a car. Okay? You know you're a redneck if fifth grade was referred to as your senior year. Unless you're from Kansas, and that's normal. Okay? I changed it, and I went to this deal and said, you know you've done too much AI if. Okay? And I did this as Will Altenberg here. I stole a bunch of pictures from Will Altenberg. He caught me when I was giving this presentation in Nebraska. And so I did these for him. So these are, you know you've done too much AI with altered genetics if. Okay? You regularly find used semen straws in your underwear. You know how you put this thing back in there and then the damn straws. I go home at night and my wife wonders exactly what's going on. You know you've done too much AI if you tell the trooper who stops you for speeding that you're in a hurry to get home because you have a cow to breed. Now, he can take that two ways. You know you've done too much AI if you claim your non-return rate is 20% higher than it really is. but you can probably coach football somewhere. You know you've done too much AI if your son announces in school that you collect semen as a hobby. You know you've done too much AI if you use old semen straws to stir your coffee. That's hard, bro. Your secretary will kind of like that with the EPD thing, and yeah. Only use proven sires, though. Okay? You know you've done too much AI if you named your first son AM1354 QAS Traveler 23-4. Okay? And whatever you do, don't let him marry another Band 105 descendant. You know you've done too much AI if you show up in church with a lube bottle still in your back pocket. Thank you. I'm taking... Oh, my God, I'm out of time.